ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीनैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 1000 names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. So today we will be discussing the namas from 101 till 105. So this is a continuation of the previous two namas that we learned of Om Mooladhareka Nilaya Nilayai Namaha Om Brahma Granthi Vibhedinyai Namaha. So we learnt about the three granthis of the heart as Avidya, Kama and Karmam, which are Rudra Granthi, Vishnu Granthi and Brahma Granthi. So the next, we'll see the next five namas and then see in a little bit analysis on the three granthis. So the next nama is Om Manipuranta Ruditai Namaha. Manipuranta Rudita, Manipura Anta Rudita, Manipurakam. In the Manipuraka Chakra, one who is situated in the Manipuraka Chakra. So Devi resides in Manipurakam. So Devi resides in all the chakras, that is what is going to come up. So the next is Om Vishnu Granthi Vibhedinyai Namaha. The Vishnu Granthi, which is in Anahatam, that is being broken by Devi Vibhedini, one who removes, unties the knot of Vishnu Granthi. Om Atnya Chakra Antaralastai Namaha. Atnya Chakra Antaralasta. So Antaralasta means one who is in the middle. So one who is in the middle of the Atnya Chakram, which is between the eyebrows. Om Rudra Granthi Vibhedinye Namaha. One who unties the knot of Rudra Granthi. And then finally, Om Sahasrara Ambuja Rudai Namaha. Sahasrara Ambuja Arudai Namaha. Sahasraram, thousand petals Ambujam, which is there in that thousand petals lotus, Arudam, one who is clearly positioned, situated. So the previous Nama said Mula Dharaika Nilaya. So here it is Arudham. So Arudham means one who is clearly positioned, one whose base position is Sahasraram. So we discuss once again, recapping or trying to summarize in brief again. Out of ignorance we get the desire. We get desire since we are not perfect. Out of the ignorance, everybody is perfect because Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna says that Ishvara resides in the heart of all beings. So it is, we all are of the nature of that blissful Ishvara, but somehow we forget it. That is Ajnanam. And because of that Ajnanam, we strive for, we have the desire to become perfect. So that is kamam, and then in order to fulfill the desire, desires remain as desires, desire remains as thought. So thoughts are not the same as external or apparent or empirical reality. What we think cannot or doesn't really become implemented, or it doesn't really happen unless it is converted into action. So we may be thinking quite a lot, we may be thinking about a lot of things, but still That doesn't make us what we are thinking. In order for us to become what we think, we have to put it into action. The only exception or the exceptional case where we thinking directly, thinking in depth will directly will lead us to realization. So to becoming is in the case of realization or moksha, because we are already there. Their thinking is not for any action, but thinking needs to negate the wrong notion that we have in our mind. In all other cases, thinking will not lead to getting a particular object. Thinking will not lead to fulfillment of desire unless it gets converted into action. So when desire gets converted into action, that desire is fulfilled. So we think that the desires of the world, whatever we have desire we have in the world or with respect to external objects, we think that will completely fulfill us. But as Manu says, from one karma comes another karma. So trying to experience, trying to enjoy or fulfill desires and then put an end to desire. So putting an end to desire by fulfilling them is like trying to extinguish fire by pouring ghee over it. Each time we pour ghee, we may think that the fire will become less. But the more and more we pour ghee onto fire, the more brighter, the more the fire burns. So that is the logic. So similarly, by doing actions, we can never fulfill our mind. By doing our actions, we cannot remove or eradicate desires. In order to eradicate desires, we have to have knowledge. That knowledge that I am perfect. So the knowledge that I am one with Devi, I am one with Ishvara, I am one with Brahman. That knowledge alone can make us perfect. Because we are already perfect, we are trying to seek something outside. It is like a person who is trying to seek or trying to find out his son. A person is trying to find out his son, but his son is in fact inside the house. So this person, the father thinks that the son is not in his room. The father searches in the entire world, but he doesn't find the son. He will never find the son because the son is in fact inside. Similarly, we seek perfection from external objects. We seek perfection by desiring external objects, by trying to fulfill those desires by various actions, but that can never happen. Fulfillment can only happen through the knowledge that I am perfect. And that is what Lalita Sahasranama tries to do. Lalita Sahasranama tries to make our mind focus, make our mind concentrate on the truth that I am Brahman, I am one with Brahman. So along with Vedantic interpretation, harmonizing Lalita Sahasranama with Vedanta, Lalita Sahasranama is not only trying to help us to focus the mind, it also is a form of Mananam and Nididhyasanam as well. So that is what is the purpose of these Namas. So perfection can be achieved only when we seek the self. So seeking the self can be done through various ways. So we can seek the self. We can try to seek the self by doing actions. We can try to seek the self by devotion to somebody. We can try to seek the self by partly following the spiritual path, not fully following it. But that all these will not help us. All these will not take us anywhere, because it is required for the mind to put full effort onto this, because what we are trying to do is we are trying to run against the current. It is like swimming in a river. We are swimming against the current. The current or the mind, the nature of the mind is to go outside. What we have to try to do is turn the mind inward, turning the mind inward, finding out the self, or in other words, trying to pierce through the objects. The nature of the mind is to see Namarupam, to see duality, but trying to focus the mind to see non-duality, to see Brahman in objects, for that we need much more effort, because it is like rowing a boat while in the opposite direction of the current, or swimming. It requires more effort. We put a lot of effort for worldly things. We put a lot of effort to do a lot of things. We put a lot of effort to get a job. We do put a lot of effort to take care of our family. We put a lot of effort, even when it is like midnight or later than midnight, we still want food. We also want food from the particular restaurant or what we like. The food we like, we want it. So we have all these vasanas, we have all these restrictions, limitations. We have, I want this, we have that dridha buddhi we have. But that dridha buddhi is in the opposite object, in the wrong object. So if we have these dridha buddhis, then finding or realizing the self is much, much far away. Even if we are able to get contentment, even if we are able to get anandam from the presence of a Mahatma, we can consider ourselves blessed indeed, because with all these impurities, it is even impossible to get bliss from somebody else. Or in a spiritual environment, to get bliss itself is impossible with all these vasanas, because we have to put more effort. We put all our effort onto worldly things rather than putting on the self. And if we have to put effort on the self, even for worldly things, we have to put a lot of effort. So for spiritual, for seeking the self, for realizing the self, for attaining Devi, we need more effort, because the mind is continuously distracting us. The mind is constantly deluding us into worldly objects. Therefore, this requires more effort. But forgetting this, we try to seek other things. And then finally, what will happen is, oh, I give up now. I don't want this. I don't want Vedanta. I have to take care of my parents. I have so and so responsibility. What is the difference between a person who has learned Vedanta and who speaks about guilty feeling or responsibilities, and a person who hasn't learned Vedanta and who says he has responsibilities? There is obviously no difference at all. The only difference is that the person who has learned Vedanta is in a more pitiable situation, because he has learned but still he fails to implement even to a little extent. He cannot even implement 1% of what he has learned. So it is in a more pitiable situation. Not only that, he is not able to implement, but still going forward, what will happen is such a person will get egoistic about his knowledge. And since he is not implementing even a little bit of what he has learned, therefore he will not only not get bliss, but he will delude others as well. He will be deluding himself. Therefore, there is no scope for moksha. There is no scope for moksha for a person who thinks that he is a mukta. So such a person is a person who thinks that he doesn't need to implement Vedanta, because I am a mukta. There is no gati for such a person, because he is in bondage. He has the knots of the heart. He hasn't broken the knots of the heart, but still he thinks he has broken. Such a person has no gati, because the first step to removing the knots of the heart is to know that I have so and so problem. Without that, we cannot proceed in life. And if we do such things in life, then our entire life will become waste. Learning Vedanta will be of no use. And we will go around saying people that, oh, I am a follower of Amma, I am a devotee of Amma, I have learning Vedanta daily. I go to vedantatattva.org and I am learning Vedanta daily. I learn Lalita Sahasranama daily. All this we can say. It is very easy to tell all those, but we will be deluding ourselves and others into thinking. When we face a real Mahatma, then we will know whether, or then we will get the real response back. And when we meet other people who are ignorant like us, they will say, oh, great, at a young age, so young age you are learning Vedanta, it's really great. You know all this, Oh, you are posting so and so article on the net. Oh, really great. You are posting articles on Aparoksha Anubhuti at this young age and without proper learning. You have some real talent in you. You are really brilliant. All these statements will come from an ignorant person, but when we meet a real Mahatma, when we meet a real Avatara, then we will come to know as to what we are lacking. So that is why Amma says that we have to implement. Implementation is the most important part of Vedanta, not learning. We can learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn, but it will not lead us anywhere until we implement even little bit. So in order for us to implement, we have to be convinced. We have to be convinced that we are deluded. We are deluded by ajnanam, by maya, and therefore we are bound in kamam and karmam. Therefore, we have to come out of it. And the only way to come out of it is by seeking Ishvara now and here. If we are not able to, if we say that, oh, I am so young, let me take care of my parents, I will take care of Vedanta tomorrow. Anyway, I know, I have knowledge. And there is always, Chinmaya Mission Vedanta course is always open. If not Chinmaya Mission, then Akshaya Vidya Gurukulam is always there. Oh, if that is also not there, Amma's Ashram is there. I always have an option. Therefore, no need. If we say, like Kabir says, Kal kare so aaj kare so ab, Pal mein parlay hoegi bahuri karoge kab. If we don't do something now, if we say I have to do tomorrow, then we will never do it. We have to do it now. And that is more important with respect to spirituality, because the more and more we concentrate on the world, on worldly objects, and postponing Vedanta, we are doing part-time Vedanta, which will not at all help us. It will only delude us more into worldly objects. If we say we have to take care of our parents, then tomorrow it will be our children, our grandchildren, or our sister or brother's children, their grandchildren. Where will it end? It will end nowhere. And that's why Chinmaya calls such people bearded women. Like we have the physical characteristics of men or man, but still we are women, or there are women among bearded ones. That's how Chinmaya says it. Because we are not brave, we are not bold to take that step. And if we don't take it, and then later go to Amma saying that, oh Amma, I did a mistake, I got trapped, there is no coming out. It is like the knot of avidya, kamam and karmam. It is a knot which once you get tied and onto, then it is very tough to come out. It's like a maze. Once you go into the enter into the maze, it is very tough to come out. And very rarely do we get the opportunity of being in the presence of Mahatmas like Amma, who are there to take us out of the maze. And when these Mahatmas are slowly taking us out of the maze, when we see the door in, or the exit of the maze in front of us, if we say, oh, hold on, I forgot my watch, let me go back. If we do that, we'll be lost again. And it's not lost again. If we take one step away from Ishvara, Ishvara is also as possessive as us. He will say, okay, then suffer. And he will not say suffer just. He will say, since you didn't take care of me, didn't say what I didn't do what I said, therefore let you suffer for a double period of time. That's what Ishvara will tell. If we have any doubt, or if any of you think that, oh, this is something this guy is telling, this is not true, then we already know. Like, we can just go to Amma and ask her. She will tell us as to how Ishvara will respond back. She will not even tell us, she will just respond back. She'll not even give a positive or negative reply. That is the biggest blow that a Mahatma can give to a disciple. The biggest blow that a Mahatma can give to his or her disciple is not seeing what to do. We are all struggling in the spiritual path. We don't know what is right and what is wrong. And when the Mahatma says, when the Mahatma leads us into a state where we have to choose, we have to decide, then we can know that we are doomed. We have done great mistakes, or we are going to do grave mistakes, which will take us more and more away from the spiritual path. It will take us so much away from the spiritual path that we'll never be able to stand up again. We will fall down, and standing up will take many more births to come. So if that shouldn't happen, then here and now we should make use of knowledge. The knowledge that we have got, the way to implement knowledge with Mahatmas like Amma are clearly showing us, we have to utilize that so that the knots of the heart, the knots of avidya, kamam and karmam vanish. And once that vanishes, then what is in store for us is anandam, which will be explained in the next nama, which we will see in the next day. Namaskar.